All right, so here we are with Cheyenne, is it? Am I getting
Cheyenne
that?
Walker Hines, yes.
Okay, good. I want to make sure I was pronouncing that correctly. With Game Chef for this year. So if you could start off by telling us a little bit about what Game Chef is and how it's changing this year.
So, Game Chef is a competition that happens yearly. It's been going on since 2002. And the big thing is you get one theme, four ingredients, and 9 days. And so the way that this works is every year we give kind of a general theme, and then we give four ingredients, in which two to three of those ingredients must be incorporated into the game. You can have 9 days. This year it's going to be June 13th through the 21st. You are to write a fully fleshed out, playable analog role-playing game.
Wow.
So think along the lines of tabletop thing. As long as it fits the theme and has two to three ingredients, you will look at everything. One of the big things that we've been doing over the past couple of years is we now have different language coordinators, so that way you can enter into the competition in English, Brazilian, Portuguese, Korean, Russian, French, Italian, Slovenian, and Polish,
Holy
and then
smokes.
adding Spanish. And so what we do is every single breakdown of language has coordinators that look through things. And when you sign on to do Game Chef, once you have entered your game at the end of the time, you then are given a few other games from other people that have written games that year and do peer reviews. So that way you
Gotcha.
get feedback from other game designers. And then we have judges and language coordinators that look through all the titles, pick kind of finalists through each one. Every single language has a winner, and then we come up with a world winner. Last year, actually, it was from Korea. They actually won last year. So
Nice. So I was actually gonna go ahead.
it's not just an English-dominated competition is
Yeah.
a big thing, because a lot of people think, oh, this isn't for me, but really it's a worldwide event. So
Absolutely. And I was actually curious about that. How do you handle that once you have the winners across countries? How can you judge things across multiple languages?
one of the things that we do is when we have language coordinators, they translate the games into English.
Okay.
So that way things can be read, and we can communicate amongst ourselves, and it ends up being a really cool thing. This is actually my first year. Me and Stentor Danielson, who is actually my partner in our game business, we are the English language coordinators for the year. And so there's two world coordinators that kind of take care of everything, and then every single language has a coordinator. And
Wow.
so this is cool. And I've submitted a game before. I have a couple of friends who have won, and it's a really cool competition, so I'm super looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's interesting. So what are the responsibilities of the global coordinator versus the language coordinators?
The global coordinator does a bit of work, deciding on dates. We have dates for everything. We have dates for when the rules had to be translated by, when the actual games have to be translated by, what time you get proofs in, all of that stuff. So a lot of it is just doing sort of the detail work behind the scenes, and just making sure that we get the word out there about it. Because, like I said, we're up to 8 languages this year. It would be great if we could get 20 languages and a couple hundred entries from every language. That would be amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, that's one of the cool things about Game Chef is that it's really a marketplace for innovative game designs, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah, talk, please.
That was the main focus when it started, was just to get people, whether or not, no learning curve to this. If you the ingredients and go, oh wow, I can incorporate that into this and I can make this thing happen, awesome. Please try, because we appreciate anyone at any level of game design to come in. If you've never even give it a shot, you never know, it might end up winning.
Absolutely.
there's games that have absolutely been published that were submitted to Game Chef. Like, that's, it's a thing. So, you know, we really try to be as inclusive as possible and try to reach out to anyone in any group. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you create a game, we welcome you. So
cool. So that was actually one of the questions I had is, so for those watching this who maybe aren't hugely familiar with tabletop role playing, maybe they've played a game with a friend or heard about it, maybe they haven't even played before. What are some games you suggest or resources you suggest for folks to kind of get a feel for what they'd be getting into?
Okay. It's such a big world. When I say, oh yeah, I do tabletop RPGs, people go, oh, like Dungeons and Dragons. That's always immediately where everyone goes. There is nothing wrong with Dungeons and Dragons. If that is what you want to play, then be happy. Personally, I'm into a little bit more of the indie RPG world, which is a little bit more on the side of things that Game Chef tends to be. Some great things that I always suggest beginners to check out is Apocalypse World, which is a really lovely streamlined system that you just roll 2d6. You have a couple of stats you add your rolls to, and it's really narrative, really all about character interactions. And also it has a million hacks off of it where you can play Dungeon World, which is basically a dungeon crawl. You can play Monster Hearts, which is supernatural teenagers. There's a lot. There's lots of good games out there. It's a really easy system, and I love it. It depends on what you want. There's a lot of diceless systems. There's a lot of things like Gnakagok or The Quiet Year. Those are really good ones that are way more about actual storytelling than it is anything else. And then, you know, there's stuff for everything. When I was prepping for this interview, knowing that, you know, looking at a little bit more otaku stuff, I looked up a few things. There's some really great systems out there, actually, to try to emulate things like anime and things like that. Like OVA, OVA is a really great system. And, you know, if you want more Final Fantasy-like stuff, you want to look at Anima Prime. If you want, like, a dating sim, there's Girl X Boy. There's a lot of things. If you... As a game designer personally, I've always been told, if you want to make the game, make it, because there will be an audience. Mm-hmm. There is somebody out there that likes the thing you do, and there will be a game. And you can make it, and it's fine, because people will buy it, and it's awesome.
Well, absolutely. And actually, to that point, and as a game designer, do you have tips for folks who are starting to design for the first time, kind of where to start with a game design?
Funny story. I actually came up with the idea for a game in the shower today.
And excellent. So yep.
I started the design process earlier today. And really what it is if you have an idea that you're like, man, it would be super fun to get to play this game, just start thinking about it. Think about what would be fun, what you do want to actually explore with it. If you want it to be much more about the story end of things, awesome. Come up with what needs to happen for that to be facilitated. If you want it to be about character interactions, come up with a system, you know, to be able to create your characters and make sure that there's conflict and intrigue between them and make sure they interact. So really just kind of pinning down what you want out of gameplay is probably the best thing to start. Don't get wrapped up in, you know, oh boy, I want it to be this system or whatnot. Because sometimes you look at a game and then you eventually realize, oh wow, that fits beautifully into this D20 system. Why don't I just make it a hack? Or sometimes it's, oh, I need to create this entire new mechanic system. And that's something for later down the road. Flesh out as much as you can about the world and what you actually want out of gameplay. And it really... it makes a big difference, because at that point, once you know what you're doing, the rest will fall into place.
I totally agree. What are your thoughts on sort of where to place the die rolls? I know a lot of people get kind of caught up in that in terms of, well, you got to roll a die here, you got to roll a die here, and do you have to roll a die here? And where do you often do that in your games, and what would you suggest to other folks?
Oh, goodness. So I know personally, I like to play games where the roles that I make are based on decisions that the character makes. There's a lot of systems where it's like, okay, you're even thinking about doing this thing, so I need you to roll to see if you can even come up with the idea of doing that. It's a little bit more crunchy than I personally like, but that's me. I'm really, really into like the more narrative storytelling games. It's definitely my wheelhouse. And so, like I mentioned before, Monster Hearts, it's one of my favorite games. I absolutely love it. And it's, when you're about to do something, you roll. So a lot of times it's really good to make it for actions. If you can roll and it causes something to happen, not that it's a yes or no answer, it could be a yes and it goes well, or no, but you get what you want, but there's a cost. That's what I find most compelling in gameplay.
Gotcha. Interesting. So it's more when a character is attempting something. Obviously not everything, but okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
Interesting.
I think that ends up coming up with really compelling gameplay and makes for better storytelling.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get so caught up in, oh, I can only use this weapon at this time, and sometimes it brings everything to a grinding halt. It's a thing, it's okay. So.
Exactly. So what are some of the things that you've seen in Game Chef that have really excited you? Games, concepts, things like that are kind of like, this is why we have Game Chef.
So I ended up not being able to submit a game last year, but actually the theme for last year was there is no book, meaning that you need to think outside of traditional game mechanic norms. That was kind of what they were going with last year. And the ingredients were absorb, wild, glitter, and sickle. And so every year they try to give you four really off the wall things that have nothing to do with each other and try to bring stuff up. I actually have a friend who submitted a game last year that you ended up chatting with people at a party, and based off of who you were in factions with, or like people you trusted, you would paint your nails specific colors to go along with other people. So that incorporated like the glitter aspect of it. Like seriously, you walk around the you sit there at a table pretending to walk around the room, and you end up painting your nail. So it's really cool to just be able to see what kind of creative off the wall mechanics that people can come up with, because I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do. There are games that use tarot cards as a way to come up with your characters. There's a lot of stuff, and I'm always pulled to things that have more interesting mechanics like that. I mean, I love dice, don't get me wrong. I am so happy to hear the sound of dice rolling on the table. But when you can come at me with a game that has a really neat mechanic to get everyone into the story, I always appreciate it. So I think it's just really cool that even if your game doesn't win, I know a lot of people, especially G plus communities and stuff like that, since Google Plus has been taken over by gamers. It's really great because everyone will be like, here's my submission this year. And there's been a couple more contests that have come out, like the 200 word RPG challenge.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was really cool. So nice to actually give constraints to be able to come up with as many things as possible. Be great to even just see what everybody else produces,
Yeah.
because sometimes somebody will say something you've never even thought of before.
Yeah.
That's the big thing, is we just want as much creativity and as much ideas about what could happen with gaming to come out of this as possible.
Totally. Are there any particular mechanics that you've come across in Game Chef or otherwise that have really like excited you? Been like that fits perfectly.
Well, sadly, I haven't. This is my first year with Game Chef,
Oh, sure.
so I
Yeah.
have to see a whole bunch of stuff. But as a designer, I do go to a lot of conventions and stuff like that. And there's a great one in November up in New Jersey that Double Exposure does, called Metatopia. And it is a game design con for game designers. You
Wow.
go and play test your games with other industry professionals, have them give you feedback. And so many creative things. People using note cards that there was one person controlling the main character who was having a dream, and everybody else would describe the dream, but that person got to choose like three words that were used in the dream, and then they would read it out.
Interesting.
There was a lot of really neat stuff that comes out of it. So again, I like the weird stuff. I'm personally into kind of like the dirty hippie indie game. So I like the weird stuff. The more interesting you can come at me, I usually appreciate it. So
absolutely. Well, I remember the first time I saw someone playing running Dread, and just sitting at a table and hearing this book talk. Whoa.
No, there is a physical manifestation of anxiety and terror in the middle of the table. And it's a Jenga tower. It's the most like innocent thing, but man, you play a Dread game and you're up walking around pacing because you have this nervous energy and you're terrified to touch that tower. Oh God, Dread is amazing.
And then you start watching everyone else who's pacing and making sure they don't get near the table so they don't accidentally knock it.
Oh goodness. I've had friends run it at a lot of conventions. There's a group called Games on Demand where you sign up to GM and you give a couple of games that you're willing to run, and then when people come, they pick what game you run and then you go and run it. Like you don't know what you're going to run in this time. And a lot of times Dread gets run because everybody wants to play it. And I have walked through halls where people are making like a 10-foot barrier around the table. They're like, we are 42 pulls in. You are not knocking this tower over. I am not dying. It's really cool. And actually, I just watched the tabletop because they just did a double episode featuring Dread.
Nice.
Such a good way to show and get people into that game. It's lovely. I love that game. So
awesome. I'll have to track that down. I didn't realize they'd done Dread this year. That's great.
Yeah.
That's very cool. It's funny, you mentioned earlier, when I came across The Quiet Year, somebody described it to me, I finally bought it, and I remember it arrived, and I opened it up, and I was like, what is this? And I started going through the cards and realized, oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, that whole idea of having the cards organized according to season, that fits.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And that's, I mentioned before, Gnakagok, you're like an Eskimo-esque people who have never seen the sun, and there's a prophecy that the sun is coming up, and you have to figure out what that means. You don't know if it's good or bad, and everybody at the table forms a map together of what their area looks like and what ecological things you're going to deal with and things like that. And it's just, there's so many things that can be done. And, you know, like I said, I love dice, but there's a lot of creativity right now going on with a lot of diceless games and GM-less games also. That's been a big trend recently, is trying to come up with games where you don't have one person specifically in charge.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool when you get to do stuff like that. So there's a lot of creativity out there.
Absolutely. And one of the nice things, too, about this is that because you don't have much time to build a 500-page, rule book, you're going to generally be led down the direction of that thing where you don't necessarily, or it's easier to design a game without a GM, because then you're not talking to two different people at once and trying to explain here's all the things GM does, and all those weirder ideas have more space to flourish.
Yeah, absolutely, I completely agree with that. And there was another competition similar to this they're doing for Freeform LARP now, that's called the Golden Cobra.
Cool.
And, it was pretty cool. And I got to play in a couple of the games at Metatopia this year, including one that's called Still Life. You're a rock. You decide what kind of rock you are. You have a question that you're supposed to answer. And the GMs are elemental forces that like have a river come or an earthquake or something and move you around. And whenever you're in touching distance of another rock, you can talk, but that's it. Otherwise, you're silent and you're contemplating your question.
Wow.
That is not like when a lot of people think of LARP, they either think of Boffers or they think of, World of Darkness or stuff like that. That's way more involved and has backstory. That's just such an elegant little game that it sounds like nothing, but then I was so impressed playing it. I was just like, wow, this is actually really deep, and I appreciate that I did it. So it's
what's the name of that again?
Cool. That competition is called Golden Cobra.
Golden Cobra.
And it takes place later in the year. I think last year it was in like September or October. I should have looked it up. But yeah, no, it's a really cool competition. So it's kind of the analog to Game Chef, only for freeform LARP.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
It's definitely something to check out.
Cool. Cool. So are there any particular things that you'd like to see explored in Game Chef personally? Like not as a, you know, here are the themes, but stuff, you know, settings or concepts that would be kind of just interesting for folks to explore.
Oh, geez. So one thing that I'm personally kind of moving towards is writing games that have a good sense of humor. I think a lot of times people want to be really serious in their gameplay. And believe me, I understand having games about social problems and things like that. It's excellent. It's good things to explore. You learn a lot about yourself dealing with these things in game. But being able to be silly and out there with stuff always makes me really happy. And so that's something I look forward to seeing those kinds of games where it's just like, this is silly. I want to play this and be insanely happy while I play it. So,
absolutely.
Other things. I don't know.
It's tough. For me as an anime fan, I'd love to see folks explore more the weird, wacky romantic relationships you often see in those sorts of stories. I think people generally just really shy away from playful, you know, back and forth relationships of will they, won't they.
Actually, there's a really neat game that my friend Sarah Williamson wrote. The name is escaping me, but you play two people on a first date, and it's a LARP, and you split the people up into two groups. Everybody plays a different part of one of the datee's psyche.
Whoa.
And so a group conversation of making up what happens on the date, and you go on several dates. And so that just makes me ridiculously happy because it's just such a fun thing to play with. And that's, you know, there's actually a couple of games like that that are coming out. There's an RPG that'll be up on Kickstarter later this year called Bluebeard's Bride, in which everybody plays the bride. You all play different factions of her psyche.
Interesting.
It's powered by the apocalypse space, so it's just the 2d6 roll, and I've played it, and it's ridiculous. It's so fun. It's so good. And it's been really cool seeing that come out as a thing where, you know, multiple people controlling one person. That's a really fun thing to play with.
Getting back to the whole LARP thing, LARPs are one of those things that I'm personally fascinated by. I know a lot of folks are interested in, but they think it only happens in Norway.
It only happens in Norway.
Or, you know, the little corner of a convention. Where can people go to find those sort of LARP experiences?